Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5, and I have one verse that I want to read to you, and then try to make a few remarks upon this verse, and it is Ephesians 5:2, and our subject is the love of Christ. That's a tremendous subject, and one which no earthly tongue could ever do justice to. But I'll take a stab at it, see if I can at least encourage the people of God and direct poor sinners to our loving Savior who delights to show mercy. Ephesians 5, verse 2, Paul says, "And walk in love." Walk in love. That is, conduct yourself according to the very principle of love. Regulate your life according to the beautiful truth of love. Love God. I tell you, if you regulate your life, if you live always focused upon loving our God, you're not going to go far wrong. Nobody's going to have to lay down rules and laws and regulations for you. If within your heart you seek always to do those things that are honoring to your God and out of a sense of loving Him. What is love? We talk about love quite a bit, and we say, I love you, and I love all of you and the Lord. Folks who are watching, some I'm sure watching this morning I've known for many, many years, and we love them, those that I've never met. I love you as best I can. I love you for Christ's sake. What is love? What is the love of God? There's a noted evangelist has a advertisement or a little religious thing he puts on. I see it on television every once in a while. And he just says this. He said, you know, God loves you. What does that mean? There's no definition of whatever God's love is. What does it mean for God to love somebody? And I think the way he's using it and the way most preachers use it is this way. God wants to do good for you if you'll let him. God has a good wishes toward you for your things that would benefit you. And he wants you to let his love enter in and so forth and so on. But the love of God as presented by modern religion is so vague. There's no real descriptive issue there. There's no description, I should say. There's no statement of great clarity. What does it mean for God to love somebody, and what does it mean for you to love somebody? Years ago, a good friend of mine, he's been with the Lord for several years, he gave me a set of books, and he prefaced it by saying, I want to give you a definition of what love is. And he gave me his definition. I said, that set of books you're giving me, I want you to write that definition on the very first page. And he did. And here's the definition. He says, love is a living principle that finds its fulfillment by bestowing the best it can on the objects of its affection, and cannot be happy. Love cannot be happy or satisfied except to the extent that it can satisfy this desire. That's a really good definition of love. Could I give it to you again? He said, love is a living principle that finds its fulfillment by bestowing the best it can on the objects of its affection and cannot be happy or satisfied except to the extent that it can satisfy this desire. You see, that love that God has for us, it's way yonder more than a wish or a desire. The Lord, when it comes to those that He truly loves, His love is only satisfied when it pours out upon the objects of His love saving grace in Christ Jesus. That's the only way His love is satisfied. Now see, your love, you may love someone and that love not be requited, returned. They don't give to you their love. But that's not the way it is with God's love. Those to whom He shows His marvelous, marvelous loving kindness, He will make certain that those people are affected by that love. And they will in return love God as He is in the Scriptures. And here in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is not talking to everybody. He's talking to the people of God. He has already said, look at verse 32 of the previous chapter. He says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. Walk in love. Let me tell you something, those of you who have been brought to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, everything God has ever done for you, everything He is doing for you, everything that He shall yet do for you is always based upon the principle of His love for you. He's never been mad at you. He's never hated you. He's never disappointed with you. Because He's loved you forever. You see, when our Lord Jesus came into this world to live and die for sinners, to put our sin away, He didn't come to get God in the notion of loving us. He came because God sent Him in love. God loved us with an everlasting love. You see, as ancient as God is, that's how ancient His love is for us. And that love of God will not be satisfied until He bestows upon you the best that He can give you. And the best that He can give you is His darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that great salvation found in Him. That's the best He can do for you. And His love's not going to be satisfied until He brings that to pass. It's not a wish. It's not a hope. God's love in the Scriptures isn't vague. It isn't something, well, you can't really define it. Yeah, you can define it. God desires the very best for those whom He loves with all of His heart. You know, when we say we love somebody, I say I love my wife, I say I love you with all my heart. That's the way we can express it. And while we can't enter into the mind and heart of God, I know this, to put it in our vernacular, God loves us with all His heart. He couldn't love us anymore, and his love never fluctuates. Sometimes with a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, one can do something, continually do something to the other, till finally they just kill that love. That's an awful thing. I'm going to tell you something for the people of God. There's nothing you can do to affect God's love to you. Isn't that good news? He loved you when you were just a thought in his mind. He loved you when your name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. His heart has always been full of love to you. Let that affect you. Notwithstanding, though we would fall in sin, and though we would be alienated from God, he still loved us, and his love is just like this. Because just as God cannot change, his love cannot change. And there's nothing you can do that will ever affect how God feels about you, those of you who are his people. Now, be followers of God, therefore, as dear children. Let us love like he loves. Let us, number one, love God. Let's walk in love. Let me regulate my life by this principle of loving our Lord as he's revealed in the Scriptures. Let me love God the Father, who chose me unto salvation. He's the one who sanctified me. He set me apart to be his child. Let me love God the Father and all of his attributes. Let me love him as my Father. Let me love him so much that I can say, as Paul did, I call him Abba Father. That means Daddy. Dearly loved Father. And then let me love God the Son, that one who is equal with the Father. Let me love him for who he is, not for just what he gives to me. I'm certainly appreciative of all he gives to me, but let me love him for who he is. He's the Son of God. And indeed, let me love him for what he's done for me. Why, he came and laid down his life to save me. He said, greater love hath no man than this. Man laid down his life for his friends. He calls me his friend? I've been his enemy. I was alienated from him. But he calls me his friend. Let me love the Son of God as he is, the sovereign ruler over all. That's his reward for finishing the work of salvation. Let me love him as the sovereign king. Let me love him no matter what he brings into my life. Let come what may, whatever trial, whatever affliction, whatever joy, whatever sadness, whatever he does, let me love him always, and let my love ever grow for him. Paul says, walk in love. Walk in love. And let me love the Holy Spirit. He's the one who sent me to hear a preacher of the gospel tell me the truth. He's the one who enlightened my darkened mind. When I was full of religion that was false, thought I was doing God's service. It's the Spirit of God who crossed my path. And it's as though he said, you've come this far, but you're not going any further. He stopped me in my tracks. And I heard the true gospel for the first time in my life. And the eyes of my soul, the eyes of my understanding were open. And I truly saw who God is in His sovereign greatness and authority. And I saw who Christ is. That He's the one who saved sinners by the shedding of His precious blood. And the Spirit of God opened my eyes. He opened my heart. And all of a sudden, I found myself believing this gospel. Let me love the Holy Spirit. And let me love the people of God. It's one thing to say, I love you. Anybody can say that. Paul or John says, don't love in word only. Love in deed. So I pray that Lord will unify us and we'll love one another. Well, love is active. Love wants to bestow good upon the person that you love. Walk in love, he says. Walk in love. Do you know anything about the love of our Lord Jesus Christ? You know, it's one thing to know about the love of God, know about the love of Christ. It's another thing to know the love of God and know the love of Christ. That's an altogether different matter. You see, the world says, and I talked about it, and the evangelist says, God loves you. It's one thing to talk about that in generalities. Everybody knows that God loves people. But very few people know the love of God in their soul. You see, the love of God that enters into the heart gives an inward peace, an inward joy, an inward delight, an inward satisfaction. When the Spirit of God sheds abroad the love of God in the heart, that's when we know the love of God. Not merely know about it. You see, I'm afraid some of you only know about the love of God. That's all you know. But I pray that God will cause you to know the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That's an altogether different thing. That's an experience of love daily in your heart and in your life. Everybody, all of God's children, in fact, know the love of Christ, but we don't all know that love to the same degree. I know this. Give you a few things here. The more the Holy Spirit shows me how far off from God I was, the more I'll appreciate His love. I was way far off base. And the more the Holy Spirit shows me my weakness and my inability, the more I'll appreciate the love of Christ. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't do anything spiritually, neither could you. And the Spirit of God came and did a work of grace in the heart. He showed me how weak, how pitiful, how without strength I was. And then I really began to appreciate the fact Christ loved me. And I didn't have anything to give back to Him. You see, something about the love of God in Christ, it's an unconditional kind of love. It isn't based upon anything we do. You can't merit His love. You can't earn His love. You can't work for His love. He just pours it out upon you with no condition, asking nothing of you. What do you think about that? He just loves you freely. That's what the Lord said in the book of Hosea. I will love them freely. It won't cost them anything. That's how God loves you. Think about that. That's how God loves all of His people. Nothing in you whatsoever to deserve that love. In fact, everything in you and everything in me to repel that love. And He loved us when we had no interest in His love. Kept on loving us anyhow. And from the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, under the time when the Spirit of God woke you up from your sleep of spiritual death and showed you Christ as all, God loved you all along, every moment of your life, guiding, directing, protecting, keeping you, preserving you, keeping you living. And all because you are an object of His everlasting love. I wish that would grasp my heart and yours as well. And I'll tell you what, the more the Holy Spirit convicts me of my sinfulness, even now, the more He convicts me of my sinfulness, the more thankful I am for the love of God in Christ. You see, the Savior loved me to this degree. He gave His life to save me. I believe I'd give my life to save my wife's life, my daughter's life, anybody in my family, my son-in-law's life, our son in Japan, our grandchildren, our great-granddaughter. And I hope I'd lay down my life for you. I wouldn't lay down my life for an enemy. I'm just being honest. Is that all right? I'm just telling you like it is. I wouldn't lay down my life for an enemy. Somebody says, would you take his place and die his death? I say, are you kidding me? That scoundrel? He's nobody to me. And I think you probably all think the same way. And I was a scoundrel. I was wayward. I was going to amount to nothing. And in the very heart of the Son of God, He said, I love that son of Adam. And I'm going to lay down my life to save him. You going to die for me? For my sin? The way I've treated you, knowing my thoughts and my attitude and my words and my deeds and my motives, so much wrong in me, you mean somebody who doesn't love you, you're going to lay down your life to save me? And He says, yes, because I love you with an everlasting love. Oh, what kind of love is this? And I'll tell you, the more the Holy Spirit shows me my unfaithfulness, the more thankful I am for the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Let's be honest. We don't know too much about being faithful, really. And that's a sad commentary on us. I'm not bragging on us. That's just a fact. But I tell you what, His faithfulness toward us has never wavered. Not at all. And the more the Holy Spirit shows me the weakness of my love, the more I rejoice in the love of Christ, who won't let me perish. I'd have perished if I could. And you would have too. We just marching toward the gaping the jaws of hell that were gaping open, ready to swallow us up. We didn't have a care in the world as far as spiritual things were concerned. And then God disturbed us. He woke us up from our madness. He gave us spiritual sanity, like old Nebuchadnezzar, walking around proud as a peacock. Look at this city I built. I'm somebody. Really? And God brought him down, made him to eat grass like a beast of the field. And he grew wings, grew feathers like eagles, had claws, and out there grazing with the beasts of the field. How much pride you got now there, sir? You out there with the beasts. And then God gave him sanity again. See, we're insane. We're spiritually insane till God the Spirit does something for us. We're just so ignorant. Ever heard anybody say, that boy don't have good sense at all? As us. We didn't have good spirit. We didn't have any good spiritual sense. And then, in our days of ignorance and spiritual stupidity, the Spirit of God made us sane. He gave us some understanding. And now that we understand a few things spiritually, we rejoice in the love of Christ that has never failed. Never failed. You want to know something about this love of Christ? Turn back to, look at chapter 3. Look at chapter 3. Look at verse 16. Here's what Paul, he's praying for these Ephesian brethren. He says, that he would grant you, I just don't have time to read the whole context, but he's praying. He says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. I sure pray that for all of you and me. That ye, being rooted and grounded in, this is what I'm talking about, love, may be able to comprehend with all saints, watch this, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. You can't grasp all of his love. You can't handle all of his love intellectually. You have no idea of the height and the breadth and the length of his love. I tell you, the love of Christ is a breadth beyond all breadth. It's a length beyond all lengths. It's a depth beyond all depths. And it's a height exceeding all heights. Breadth. Who can measure the broadness of his love? We sing that song, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Like grace, the love of Christ is broader than the scope of our transgressions. That's what we sing. Broader than the scope of our transgressions, his love is. How broad is my sin? Oh, it's really broad. But his love is broader than that. It covers all my sins. And length. You want to know how long the love of God is? It reaches from eternity past all the way to eternity future. Now, brother, that's long. That's the length of his love. You remember when the Savior died and he recorded this in Psalm 22, he cries out, "Why art thou so far from helping me?" Nobody could help him. And nobody could help us except that love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And that long arm of God's love reached down and laid hold of us in our defiance, in our sinfulness, in our misery. You see, the love of Christ, like a long arm, the length of it can reach down to the lowest depths of humanity and lift up the lowest sinner. You say, "I was right down there at the bottom. I was the scum of the earth. I was down way at the bottom." Well, I'll tell you what, you're not beyond the reach of the love of God, because it's got a length that'll reach all the way to the miserable death depths of the miry clay. Picked you up, put you on the rock, Christ Jesus. Depth is the next one. Depth. What is it you sing? Deeper than the stain is gone. It goes deeper than the stain. The love of Christ is so deep it has washed away all of the sins of his people. If that thought would grasp our hearts, we'd go out of here rejoicing and, as it were, clicking our heels. God holds nothing against his people. Never has, never will. Oh, the depth of his love. Sometimes as the children of God, we sink deep in dismay, disappointment, and despair. David said in Psalm 69, verse 2, "I sink into the deep mire, and yet the arm of the Lord's love reaches down into the deep mire and says, I still love you. You hadn't outlived my love for you," the Lord says. And he assures us all is well with God because of who I am, what I've done. That's the love of Christ. I say to the people of God, yes, we'll weep over our sins, but after we weep a bit, let's turn our eyes toward glory and see our Lord Jesus, who has nothing but thoughts of love toward us. He's never had any thoughts of mischief or to hurt you or to wound you or to kill you or destroy you. His love is always the same, just like himself. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And height. Here's how you can measure the love of Christ to us. It lifts us up. And some might say, it lifts us all the way up to heaven. That's not good enough. It lifts me all the way up to God. You see, I'm not fit for heaven. I'm not fit for the presence of God. I'm just not. I'm being honest with you. As best I understand the doctrine of total depravity because of my wickedness, my sinfulness, I'm not fit, I'm not worthy for the presence of God. And yet the love of Christ lifts me up so high, I mean to dizzying heights, that the love of God sets me down right in front of God the Father. And I can look at him and say, "Father." And he says, "You're one of my children." And I tell you, part of heaven's going to be blessing him forever for his everlasting love to us. What kind of love is this? Give you one more thing. Chapter 5, where Ron read to us. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it. Nobody took his life. Here's the extent of his love. He gave himself. He gave himself over to divine justice. He said, Father, all the sins of all of my people of all the ages, make them meet on me. Put them on me. Well, that's going to mean you'll have to suffer, bleed, and die. I love them so. And I'll tell you, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ washed away all the sins of his people. Everlasting love. No wonder we glory in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Get your song books and turn to 489.